Because he is absolutely useless. Yo, that scene where he had the nerve to be like, he was embarrassed. I was like, Ray gonna rant. I'm not even gonna say nothing. I said, I know Ray is fighting for her life watching this episode. Because first of all, as a 1950s man, right? Like, even if you died in the war, you should already know. Like, why are you imposing your? We could just get into this, huh, Ray?
Hey everybody. You know, this week Auntie Ray is drinking a Modelito, you know. Cause
The episode got you stressed.
I said it in pre-pro and I'ma say it here. Every week I realize that I gotta talk about this struggle ass relationship for 5 more seasons. Honestly, unless something truly amazing happens, there is no more love chemistry segment. Like, I'm done. The segment's over. We done. I'm weary. Like, I'm gonna look forward to the Sex and the City years. And I just mean that with like Phoebe trying to find a man every other season. And then fucking Paige marries a cop. Like,
These girls be putting us through it, like through. I mean, well,
yo.
somebody had to marry a cop, right? Because Andy got off, so.
I just don't understand how, like, the baddest bitches of all time is like, you know what? Mediocrity in a man is what really gets me going. Like, I really love a man who don't know how to pick up a check. I love a man who just has, like, obsession issues. Like, he's obsessed over me, but, like, it's a little too much. And I love a cop. Like, any
I
guy.
mean, but if I had to choose, I'ma take the obsessive stalker any day, because all he wanted to do was plant his evil side of her evil seed inside her womb, and I was okay with that.
Did you see the video I sent you? You're
Very
welcome.
much so. I am on an Astarion kick, so just bring me all the girly pops. The girly pops have been doing Astarion edits for Baldur's Gate on TikTok. And everybody knows that I love me some Baldur's Gate, so they be sending me this dairy. Woo!
You know what?
I
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Black Girl Charmed. I am your weary, weary, weary Tanti Ray. Because, oh gosh, these girls make the West Indian in me just. Ooh, it's past Auntie Ray. It's full Tanti. We full in Tanti mode when these girls come on my screen and piss me off. But I'm joined by my co-host.
I'm just along for the very bumpy ride today. I am your co-host, Janelle. It was every time I watch these episodes, I'd be like, I know she is fighting for her life, right?
I just be sitting here like, you know what? I'm gonna just grab these clips for TikTok. Try my best not to scream so I don't have to re-record the video.
I'm just like, is this is how they were like serving up love to the girly pops in the 2000s? Because I don't want this. Between this and like, what was it, Sex in the City? Like, the fact that we still have debates on should she have been with Mr. Big or the Russian?
What's a little slap in the face? You know, I'm joking, I'm joking, I'm joking, unless it's consensual, unless it's consensual and you guys, it's part of your play.
I'm about to say, do not, piss on somebody else's kink. If they like that dub con, you know, red, yellow, green.
I am
you
never
say banana, one. I say fudgesicle, you know.
I am never one to yuck anyone's yum. I'm just saying, you know. His name was John, after all. Like, oh, John. Ugh. There are just certain names that are just not sexy to me. And John is one of them. Because it's
no, I get that. I get that. It's, when I read, there's a couple of, like, especially as I've gotten older, like, it can't have any of my children's names. That just immediately takes me out. Like, I'm done. It can't have my brother's name. And that doesn't, it used to happen a lot when I read, like, Celtic romances, because his name is a derivative. Mm-hmm. So that take me, I'd be like, oh. And I've noticed lately that they be wanting to do a lot of, like, kinky, dubcon, noncon, dark romance for, like, 18, 19-year-olds. Get out of here! Get out of here. I'd be reading, I'd be like, wait, she's a senior in high school? Y'all are nasty. I read one, and the premise sounded hot. She was going, it was her and her three stepbrothers. I was like, I am with
this. Goldilocks.
Right? Second chapter, she was getting ready for school.
Okay, college, right?
No. She specifically talked about, I'm so glad that this is going to be my last year in high school. And I was like, I'm done. I feel like I'm reading kiddie porn. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Wrap this shit up.
Like, after you hear, like, after, like, a Jean, you know, the John of the island. After a Jean, you know, Sherry. Like, you can't go from, like, a Sherry to, like,
hi, my name's John.
Like, that doesn't...
John.
It's like, okay, John Smith, get out of here. Like, you see?
Right. Yeah. I'm with you. But I feel like, maybe not so much in the romance novels, but I feel like John gonna hold you down. John gonna make sure them bills are paid. He gonna cover the mortgage, not just the light bill. John gonna cover the mortgage.
Ooh, you know what? I don't know. It was very weird, but like a Jack or a Jacques. Ooh, something about like
I could do a Jack.
You know,
I do a Jack.
A Jack or a Jacques. You know,
just yeah,
something about that. But Jose just ruined everything. You know, I can't watch no kind of television because if you want a white man name, here you go.
Sorry.
You know, I'm in a relationship with an Italian from Long Island. Comes from a long line of firefighters. You know what? After all, I did get my white man, if you think about it that way.
Is that what we're going to go with? All right, candy ass.
First of all, I would never, ever get on anybody's television podcast and be like, my white husband has a brown penis. Never. Ever.
I'd have been like, is that like a skin disease? Does he not scrub? I'm so confused.
Why are you telling me? First of all, why are you telling me about your man's penis? Because like, me and you are no friend. I don't want
to. Mm-mm.
Like,
I can't wait till November 5th though. I am counting down the weeks.
Can't wait to be in deep space.
How are you doing? How is your week?
My week, I don't know. So, we are doing a new segment, which is not really a new segment because I think this is the segment, but it's just more organized anyway. Because we're always all over the place. And shout out to the TikToker who like, brought it to your attention, so you brought it to my attention,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be called the, you know, the Holt Report.
Okay.
You know, the apartment is called the Holt Apartment. And we're going to go over what we're reading, eating, playing, obsessing, or recommending. And of course, because I am, you know, the lonely TV talker, there's, you know, television's also in there.
I did watch a show this week. I just watched one show. I did.
What'd you watch?
I watched The Irrational with my boo.
I didn't watch the second episode.
I only watched the first one, but I really liked it. He had some swag for a little old man. I was like, okay, all right.
First of all, I liked it. Joe West has always had swag. Okay, all right. Don't you say Papa Joe?
I like the fact though that it doesn't feel like he reminds me of his Law and Order character. I feel like they did a good enough job that I don't feel like it feels like a fresh character to me.
So
that's what I was afraid of.
So as somebody who has watched him on Law and Order as a cop and on The Flash as a cop, it's just like, oh baby, you love the blue and it makes me kind of scared. But overall, every time he plays a cop, it is a version of, was he green? Like Lenny Green?
No, Lenny was...
Lenny Briscoe. Who was his first name? It was definitely Green. Lenny Briscoe's eyes. God damn you. That was such a wretched episode, too.
God, there's so many. Ed Green.
So, yeah.
Ed?
Yeah, right?
Ed?
So, they're definitely versions of Detective Ed Green in every, like, version of this cop guy that he plays. But, yeah, it's a different version of Ed Green. This is like Ed Green if he got burned and didn't remember, and instead of going to, like, the NYPD, he hung out with his sister and, like, did this other route.
Right.
And, like, Detective Joe West is still Ed Green, but, like, what if you saw him with his, like, his black daughter and his white son? And, you know, he still got to play jazz, and his wife was a crackhead, and all this kind of mm-hmm. stuff. You know?
I'm so mad we never got to see his version of Marvin Gaye. I think he would have done...
Yeah.
An absolute...
Yeah, he definitely has those fuckboy, like, cheeks. Like, when he smiles, he definitely has those, like, you know, I'm gonna ruin your life, sugar. Like, what are those? You know.
Them old school cheeks.
Yeah. And obviously he got the voice, so.
Mm-hmm. He probably got two families out there. They don't know nothing about it. That's how they did it back in the day.
Even Ray Charles cheated, you know.
So what other TV have you been watching?
I finally finished Chicago Fire. I am up to season 12, which is the season that's coming up after, you know, SAG gets their act together, if they get
their act together.
And I don't know, it's just very wild seeing, because I did Chicago PD years ago, so it's very weird seeing, like, the repeated storylines of, like, oh, I'm pregnant, guess what, not pregnant, oh, I fell in love with this baby that we rescued from this traumatic thing, oh, we can't keep this baby, oh no, oh, I want to leave the show because I'm tired of Chicago, let me go, like, save a life in Puerto Rico somewhere, like, but, you know, it's, I'm gonna just miss, like, Jose getting worked up, being like, so you want to be a fire cop? That's what it is? Like, what is your job? You're a firefighter. All right, you're not a cop, bro. All right, do your job.
Well, I mean, since we started the T in report, I guess we'll go back to the beginning. Right. You're going to get it right eventually.
Hey, sometimes we all have, like...
I understand.
You know.
Are you reading anything?
I'm not. I do want to get back into reading, you know. Reading, and, you know, spicy reading. Just, like, for me, I have to take it, like... I have to go slow when it comes to reading spicy books because they all are repetitive in a sense.
So I've been trying to read some that aren't repetitive but still give a lot of spice. I really liked, oh gosh, I can't think of her name. Let me go into my Kindle on my phone. I really like, it's an author and I've read a couple of her books now. Harper L. Woods. I like her. So it's still spicy, but it has a storyline. So this one was called Coven of Bones and it was spicy, but it did kind of lean into like, she's a little bit younger. And I was like, I'm gonna give it to you because it's like magic, but you pushing it. But she has another series that I'm actually about to jump into. I just finished the Unfortunate Side Effects. Whatever happened to what?
Happened to like mid-20s, early 20s.
Right. Just I feel like
making my way downtown, walking.
I'm an older woman, right? Like, you know, I have aged just like the Charmed show has aged. And listening to like college kids get it on just isn't, it doesn't, I need a grown woman. I need her to have a little meat on her bone. But I also don't need the male protagonist consistently telling her how, like, plump and juicy she is. Like, all right, I get it. I got some thighs. My booty shake a little bit when I walk in some leggings. I don't need you telling me every chapter. Like, you're pushing it. And that's when you can tell a skinny bitch is right in a plus size.
Her voluptuous thighs.
Yeah, like, all right, well, simmer down.
Then her cantaloupe breasts.
Right. Like, all right. I get it. I'm juicy. I'm sweet. I'm edible. Like, I get it. It's even worse though when a man writes it because it's like, you have never had vagina in your entire life. Like, ever.
I just can't. Men, stop saying nipples are like chocolate kisses. Please, for the love of God, stop putting it in your writing. Stop putting it on our television. Stop putting it in your bedrooms. Please. It is lazy. It is disgusting. And it is akin to moist, okay? If you tell me my nipples remind you of any kind of Hershey anything, my pants are back on and I'm out the door.
It's so bad. Oh, like Cole? Sorry. That was rude.
First of all, her line delivery, I clipped it. Are you going someplace? What show were we watching? But anyway,
what are you eating?
Well, for dinner tonight, we got pies and thighs. So,
Look at you having sex before the show. Boom,
boom. You know,
that was leading back into the whole chocolate nipples thing. That's why I did it. We went to a county fair yesterday, so I've all been on like fair food. And we finally got a boba place that opened up. So I've been hitting her up quite frequently. Ooh. I love boba. But I like that. What else? What else we have? What else? I'm still playing Baldur's Gate. I'm taking it very, very slow. And I was telling our Phoebe, the reason why it's taking me so long to play Baldur's Gate is because when I play Baldur's Gate, I'm going to be up until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So I have to like pace myself because it triggers my ADHD. And if something, like if a path doesn't go the way I expect it to go, because everything's triggered based off your actions, I will backtrack 3 hours worth of work to redo it. So I'm taking it very, very slow.
Okay. Not playing anything, but I will say I Planet Fitness gifted me 4 months of Sirius XM for my birthday. So I have been playing a lot of Sirius XM.
So what are you? You know I have Sirius XM. You know I love me a good Sirius XM.
So Pop 2K.
I love me Pop 2K.
Lithium.
Yes.
Do
you have Coffee House yet?
I do have Coffee House.
Coffee House is a good one.
I haven't played it that much just because I'm like, I need to be in a coffee house.
You gotta be in a coffee house though. I typically play it on the way to dropping my son off at daycare because it's like the perfect time. Yacht Rock Radio 311.
Yes. Let's see. The music mix up mashups are always really, really fun.
Yes. So there's a hip hop, like an old hip hop station, and Shaggy takes over Thursday afternoons or Friday afternoons, I believe. Mm-hmm. And his mixes are really good.
So
I mean, Nicole, like, oh.
I've been doing more walking to incorporate into my workout so I'll not be so, you know.
Okay.
So it's really, really fun. Like, I try to do like at least 4 miles a day. And,
ooh, okay.
And honestly, Pop 2K.
Pop 2K be getting me.
Pop 2K will get you through a 4 mile walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's another it's a mix station, but it's like pop hits from like the 80s to now.
Yes. So streaming, which is crazy, but streaming has a lot more channels, which I hate, mm-hmm. than the car does.
Mm-hmm.
Which sucks because it's like I'm in the car. Give me all the channels.
Yeah, I'm like, oh yay!
I do like it.
So mad when my 4 months is up, and I'm like,
it's so the price is like expensive, but I always threaten to cancel, and it's the same price as my Spotify. It's so negligible that I can't cancel it because it's the same price as my
Spotify. I feel like such a like I've turned into like. Streaming junkie because I have Spotify, I have Apple Music, I now have Sirius. I have Apple Music through a family plan, not through my whatever. So I have like, and you know, everybody has their own thing. Everybody has their own.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Apple Music put me to sleep last night because sometimes Sirius is too serious. Like, they have this rain station, which is...
Apple Music or Sirius?
Sirius has a rain station.
Oh.
And, like, you wake up and you, like, on the wrong side of groggy. And you're like...
You go right back sleep.
You're like, where the... Wait, what is that? What's going on? Like, why is it so wet in here? Like, what's happening?
That's what he said.
Especially after the episode. So that's what I've been playing / obsessing over, just trying to find new stations.
So I don't know if it's like, so a little bit TMI about me, but so tomorrow marks 20 years since my mom passed away. But on a good note, our Phoebe is spending Christmas with us. So... And it'd be the first time in 20 years that I've spent Christmas with Phoebe. Aww. So I've been getting into like...
I really haven't been obsessing over anything lately.
Besides your hatred of Leo.
You're absolutely right. Like... I don't know, because like, I feel like... I'm just in this like... What is life? What's going on? What's happening? Like, I'm in that. That's where I am. I would say if anything, I am obsessively listening to Closet Confessions when I do have the chance, because
what's that?
It's a podcast. You've definitely seen them on the TikTok timeline.
Okay, we've talked about this. Yes.
So it's very funny, because I feel like their relationship mirrors our relationship, and in a very positive way. And it's just very, it's very affirming to listening to two Black women who have similar fucking backgrounds like us. Like one of the girls today had an episode where, like, she got a friendship bracelet from, like, one of her friends when she was, like, in the fourth grade. And her woo-woo-ass daddy, like, he made her denounce the friendship bracelet and destroyed it, but didn't destroy it and throw it away in the house. They threw it away, like, in a yard somewhere, because he didn't want his daughter to have that soul tie. And it's just, it's that kind of Caribbean it's very comforting to, like, hear other people's stories like that, as well as, like, see them come out on the other side of it and be, like, super successful when it comes to their personal life and this podcast shit.
So my homegirl sent me a TikTok about what if your Black mom sent you a holler at Hogwarts. And I was like, you know what? You 100% right. My mother would not have let me hang out with that Harry Potter boy at all. Okay. I would have been getting into no escapades.
First of all, you even lucky I sent your ass to fucking Hogwarts for you to, you know how I had to catch my ass to pick. Okay. You think Harry paying tuition, a guy paying tuition? Okay.
Bruh. Yo, the first death that would have happened, my mother would have marched her ass up into Dumbledore's
And it sucks, because, you know, she who will not be named is so bad at world building. Yo, Trinidadian Hogwarts? Jamaican Hogwarts?
So outside of that, let's get this podcast started.
Cool. So we are on season 3, episode 6, Primrose Empath.
The original, that's a pretty name, Primrose.
I have a trivia fact about that. Ooh. The original air date was November 9th, 2000. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The writer is Daniel Sarone. So he's had some sort of writing credit for season 3 so far, but this is his first official writing credit. He has a total of 34 episodes.
Okay.
16 credits in total, and the last one was The Blacklist in 2023.
He was writing for The Blacklist, like, you know.
I know. I made sure to put that in there just for you.
Just talking about, like, James Spader, just be having my, ooh, that man. Ah, the love of my life.
So I understand. But yeah, our director this week is Mel Damsky. His full credits are in season 1, episode 10, Wicca Envy. The guest stars this week, and I don't know when it was officially done, but, you know, Cole's in the credits, so he's not a guest star no more. He officially in the credits. So was that other man, but I don't really like that man, so it is what it is. And that probably been happened. Who cares?
That been happened, and we did talk about it when it happened. Yeah, it happened.
The guest stars this week are Harry Groner as Father Thomas, 100 total credits, most recently in Oppenheimer, and I don't remember him in that movie. So, but it was
He be working. Even if he on screen for like 5 minutes, he gonna get an acting credit.
He is either the bad guy, or he's somebody daddy. And you know what? He got 100 credits. Come on. You see, I miss that, like, this is why I miss cable a little bit. because the movie channel had That Guy Thursdays, where it would be like a character actor, and they would play all their movies. And they'd be like, oh, you know this guy from this and that and that. And I'm like, oh, shit.
And, that makes sense. That's cool. He would
definitely be one of those actors who was highlighted in that. But yeah. We also had Morgan Weiser as Viserys, 27 total credits, the last one in 2010. Our trivia for the week is, this is the 50th episode of Charmed.
Oh, look at that! Boom!
And the title is based upon the line from William Shakespeare himself, The Primrose Path of Dalliance Treads, which is taken from Act 1, Scene 3 of Hamlet. It means a life of pleasure and ease, which can lead to calamity.
Yes. Yeah, right. That makes sense. Yeah.
The IMDb synopsis is, Phoebe and Piper on a mission to save Prue after a spell for an innocent horribly backfires, and Prue is given the unwanted gift of feeling all the pain in the world. The cacophony of human emotion will most certainly crush her. And thank you for that SAT synopsis, IMDb. Wow. The DVD synopsis is, Piper and Phoebe race against time to save a cursed Prue who has been tricked by Cole into helping a demon. And you know what? Finally, the DVD got it right. Let's get into this episode.
So we're in the manor, we're in the kitchen, and Prue is trying to telekinetically move a fork on the table without any success. And Phoebe comes downstairs and she's having issues with her fashion. It's just not working the way she thinks it's working. I wasn't really feeling the look either. So I could.
I was very culturally appropriating and I. Like,
right. I was like, you're giving Tiger Lily in Peter Pan, and I wasn't uncomfortable with it.
Yeah. I'm very happy she changed.
Yes. Yes. She sees Prue trying to move the fork. And she's afraid that Prue had lost her powers. And Prue's like, well, no, I would have to have had powers to begin with in this form. And then she astrals back into her body and she's reading a book called Astral Games or whatever it's called, or How to Astral Something. And she is now doing witch training, which I think I would do too. Like, I would like to be the best version of myself. So I could see me reading a book trying to figure out how to be the best witch I could be.
Fair. And what I also like about this too is she was like, oh, I read a book on Balthazar. We gonna get our asses kicked.
Somebody need to read up on Balthazar because he not doing it.
You know what? You not gonna trick me into a Leo rant. We gonna get through this damn...
Even talk about, like, even that Leo, like, the fact that the uppers are like, it's Balthazar, good luck. Good luck, girls. Good luck.
Like,
he said no extra protection aid is signed each of the girls white lighters. They were like, y'all can figure this out yourself. Y'all let it jump.
Like, anyway, so Phoebe is what? Griping about Cole again.
Phoebe is complaining about Cole again because Cole didn't give her a dinner date, even though they kissed last week. It's a lunch date. And you know, lunch dates are like purgatory. You know, lunch dates have their own special menu because it's not dinner. And that's where you want to be. You want to be in dinner. You have a dinner date. Dinner dates leads to sex. I'm you know what? I'm with Phoebe. That's like taking me out to a coffee date. Just break up with me now. Just break up with me now.
I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's brunch, not lunch. Brunch is different than lunch.
Brunch is different.
Yeah.
Because
the only way
mimosas gonna lead to something.
The only way that like this would work is like, you know, he working, she working, and going to school. They only have but precious moments to spend together, so let's have a lunch. But you know, apparently school ain't shit for her because she never there no more.
She never did no more. I mean, if you're trying to get your, you know, your claws hooked into a DA, I ain't going to school out of this shit.
You're right.
I'm about to be popping out babies. Being so Prue starts complaining about a tooth pain. Apparently she's had it for a while. Mm-hmm. And she's finally going to go to the dentist. And on her way to the dentist, she finds herself being directed down a particular path. She doesn't realize that it's Cole. We, however, know that it's Cole being, you know, up to his Balthazar tricks and getting her to go to this particular house. Mm-hmm. She finds herself in front of an apartment that's about to be condemned or is condemned. And there's a man that's been inside. He's been inside for 4 years. He has not left the building. They cannot get him to leave the building. So, of course, Prue being Prue feels like she has been divinely called to help this man and goes upstairs. And he is like cowering inside. He's begging her to go away. He feels everybody's pain to the point where he can also feel Prue's toothache. To me, my alarm bells would have been ringing and I would have called in my white lighter. But whatever. I mean, he wouldn't have helped anyway, so what does it matter? So Piper and Leah are having a fight back at the mansion. Because Piper met an old acquaintance and introduced Leah as a friend. And he was like, a friend? A friend? I am your fiance. And Piper was like, well, I would have to explain everything. I would have to explain why I don't have a ring, where we met, how long we've been dating, when we got engaged, when's the wedding? Like, these are questions that I don't have answers to. And so the best thing to say is friend. And he don't like that. He don't like that at all. He was like, I'm not your friend, but I'm your fiance. But you a broke fiance. Shut up and know your place. Like, all these years and she still ain't got a ring. Like, you couldn't, tell me you couldn't go to a pawn shop and get her a ring. Like, you ain't, like, nothing. You couldn't ask them for an allowance to get a ring. Y'all couldn't have worked together and gone to a pawn shop and picked out a, like, even if she had to have bought her own ring. You couldn't do that? No? Okay. So Cole comes in. And I feel this happens. This next scene happens solely for the fact that Leo is intimidated by the fact that, like, Cole's a DA and he has suave and he has money. No. Because there's no way that you want to set yourself up for failure like that.
No, not. Because he's stupid.
You don't think so?
He's fucking stupid. It's evident later on in the fucking episode. He's fucking stupid. His feelings are hurt. He was like, oh, you want to be in the real world, bitch? Well, let's have a real world date. He's stupid. He was cutting off his nose to spite his face.
So continue. So, Prue and Cole enter. Prue has shown up to the house. Cole happened to pull up right behind her. And Phoebe comes in. And Prue is trying to let Phoebe know about the shut-in without actually, you know, letting Cole know that this could be, like, magical. And Cole was like, well, I can help. But let me just go to the kitchen real quick and use the phone. So he goes into the kitchen. I don't know why I'm in love with this man's shadow, but that shit is so...
Because his shadow... It's not pussy and not in love with Phoebe. His shadow is still about what needs to get done.
Yo, he was like, wait. The shadow went to go, like, report to the tribe. He was like, wait a minute. Where you go? And the fact that, like, you can see, like, the shadow having, like, it's his own, like, personality. He was like, wait, where you going? Why are you going to the tribe? Don't go to the tribe just yet. Let me... Like, if I fail, they can go to the triad, but, like, don't go to triad. And he's having this conversation with his shadow, and Phoebe pops. And Phoebe is completely oblivious to the fact that this man's shadow is not where it is supposed to be. She goes, talks to him about the phone call being disconnected. She go get water. She having a whole conversation. Him and his shadow just looking at each other like, don't move. Don't move. So after Phoebe leaves, the shadow has acquiesced to not telling the trial anything and goes back. Into, and even that scene too, like, where the shadow, like, walks back, you can kind of see him, like, go right back into lockstep. Mm-hmm. It was so smooth. Like, how is Leo getting played by this man? Even got no words. He ain't got a real face. How a shadow got more, like,
Riz
you do. So They're still having the conversation about the shut-in. Leo thinks that, go ahead, you should go help this guy. Cole's like, well, you know, I'm the DA. I got friends in big places. You know, here's my card. Have him beat me. Call me, beat me if you want to reach me. You know, I'm going to have somebody help him. Like, we're going to get this together. So they getting ready to go to their date. Leo. If him and Piper can come, and you can see Phoebe looking at him like.
The one time me and Phoebe were like this. Because why you want to come? Because
it's the way you act.
Because he's so bad at being petty. This man literally cut off his nose to spite his face. And the fact that Piper really want to marry that, it just don't make no sense. But continue.
So they all leave together. The next scene, we're at Crest Hills Psychiatric Hospital, where we finally get introduced to Father Thomas. He sees a newspaper about a shut-in, and it's the same shut-in that Prue is helping. He loses his shit. He was like, absolutely not. I gotta go. I gotta go see this man. This man can't get out. And they restrain him. They're like, shh, take this happy pill. Take this happy pill and go to sleep, Father Thomas. Prue goes back to the condemned building at the same time. She has taken an aspirin for her tooth so that the empath can no longer feel her pain. We find out that the empath's name is Vince, and he will be arrested if he don't leave. And I mean, okay. Like, isn't that, like, to me, isn't that good? Like, he don't want to leave anyway. I know it's not bad for an empath to be in jail, but, like, okay. Can we find out more about our innocence before we just rush to go saving him?
Yeah, like, I think what happened is, and I obviously do learn this lesson later on, it's just like every time they've been magically steered in a direction, it's always been for good. Which, right, again, goes into Cole being so good at his research. Because look, he played Phoebe like a fiddle, and he playing Prue like a fiddle. He knows how these girls operate so well. And like,
so well. So well.
A man that researches, a man that can read.
I mean, I feel like he also knows that they white light his shit. Because even Leo was like, oh, if it's just an empath, then you fine, go help him. Like, not let me go do some research. Let me see if there was any demon activity in the area. Like, let me go do something.
And if you so worried about this good that's, you know, could potentially be lost, why don't you go do something? How come you don't know? How come you can't call your friends and be like, hey, who that over there? How come I don't know about them? What's going on? How they don't know who that is? But, you know.
Prue is trying to get Vince to leave because he's going to get arrested, and we all know that he is not going to survive in jail, but he refuses to leave. Prue is like, I know what it feels like to have a power that I didn't ask for. And he's like, look, that's great and all. I'm just not leaving. Like, you see how stressed out I am? I cannot go out to the world. And Vince is laying it on thick. I mean, Prue got tears in her eyes. They have connected on a magical and spiritual level. Deputy don't give a shit though. Deputy is pounding on the door like, it's time to go. Get the fuck out. You getting arrested. I don't know what y'all doing in here. Y'all are mad weird. You said you won't come get him. You ain't come get him. Prue tries to keep the door closed, or she does keep the door closed with her power.
And you literally once he sees her use her power, he like, ooh, I know. He goes from like, ooh, everything hurts to plotting.
Right. I mean, we see it as the watcher, but Prue not seeing it because Prue's trying to do the right thing. Prue holds the door shut. She ends up casting a spell to relieve his.
I was like, okay, Spike Lee.
Hate you so much. Prue begins to cast a spell to relieve his pain. Vince is making sure that he's holding on to her as, you know, she's casting the spell. And it works. Vince says he no longer feels anything. The voice in his head have now been drowned out. He is ready to leave. Prue goes to leave without Vince. So like she walks away, leaves Vince with the deputy. She don't even look back. This man has been in this house for like 4 years. You don't look back to like, you need some help going down the steps. The light might be too bright. Like, how can I help you? She don't look back. Vince waits till Prue, I guess, walks down the steps, takes the deputy by the throat and burns him from the inside. And that is how we know that Vince is a demon.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to set up the scene and then you can do your rant, but just let me get through the scene.
Go ahead.
Cole and Phoebe are on one side, Leo and Piper on the other, and they're in a restaurant and they have awkward silence. It is awkward. Phoebe tries to mention the 49ers and Cole is like, I don't know. What are you talking about? She's like, the football team? He's like, yeah, I guess, whatever. I'm not into football. Phoebe mentions the fact, like, she's making a joke and she's like, he isn't human, while Cole is drinking a sip of water and he ends up, like, choking on it. And he's like, I'm done here. It's time to get the check. This shit is whack.
He's like, first of all, didn't it even look like they ate anything? All they had was, like, water on their table and, like, the plate settings for the knives and fork. That's all they had. They have no plates or nothing.
Piper and Phoebe excuse themselves to have... They don't even make it to the bathroom. They are in the middle of the aisle. And she's like, I know this is the end. I know I can feel him pulling away from me again. I don't know what to do. I don't. And you know, Piper's like, are you sure? Like, it's just a date. Like, maybe he's tied up at work. I think you're reading too much into it. And Phoebe's like, no, I know my man. I know some fraud.
Ugh, girl.
So they go back to the table. The check has already come. And Cole looks at Leo like, so you want to split this down the middle? And Piper goes, oh, did you leave your wallet at home again? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And Cole look at her like, okay. And then they split the check that way.
You over here banging on the table. Not even me this episode. You over here just like, blah, blah. I love it.
It was just so embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
Again, this is another example of Leo cutting off his nose to spite his face. Because you know you didn't have any money for that lunch. You knew before you invited yourself on this date. And like,
he thought he was going to pay for it. He thought Cole being a DA was going to pay for everybody's meal.
Yo, it's so wild that he is such a homosexual that he relying on his fiance's little sister fling, if you can call it that, because they're not even in a relationship for a meal. Like, bro, have you no pride? Have you no self-esteem?
No
standards?
No, he really thought that he was going, that is the only thing that I could think of, that he was going to hitch his wagon and get a free lunch meal, a free burger and fries from Cole.
Or worst of all, he wasn't even thinking that far ahead as to the check. He was like, oh, you want to have a real relationship? Let's do real relationship shit. And he was so, like, he was so ready to embarrass Piper. Because he don't see him having no money as a problem. He don't. He wanted to embarrass our homegirl. And it's giving toxic, it's giving struggle. And I will not support it. I will not be your bride.
You have not supported it for a very long time.
I will not be your bridesmaid in that wedding. I cannot stand behind you if I don't support him.
So Cole Pager goes off and he looks at him. He's like, I got to take this. He excuses himself and he ends up going over to Vince's apartment. Vince knows Cole is Balthazar, you know, so now we know he is a fellow demon. he has arranged for Prue to cross paths with him.
Pause. So it's really weird. So we didn't mention it. So when Prue leaves, Cole gives her his card with his pager number on it. He gets paged, and it's just like, there's no conversation. He just straight shimmers to this man's house. It's like, hey, how you doing, dude? What's up?
Well, I mean, because he knew already. He knew that it was going to be Vince.
No, it's weird that Vince knew him and not the other. Like, it's because, like, you know how a couple episodes back, the Grimoires were like, I mean, the Grimlocks were like, oh. I mean, Cole was like, to the Grimlocks, I'm Cole here. Relax. Don't worry right. about Balthazar. So it's wild that, like, in this episode, he shows up as Cole. The card says Cole, and he knows Cole as Balthazar. Like, if you've been in your house for 4 years, how you know that man?
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, I feel the Triad has a better networking system than the Side of the Good. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe somebody told him on the outside. So he basically gives Cole the download of everything that went on. Like, he definitely touched her. Mm-hmm. It's going to give her like a day, and she's going to succumb to it because she's just a mere mortal. She's not going to be able to handle it like I can because I'm a demon. And Cole's like, I don't know, but I get, like, Cole seems like he don't really believe what Vince is putting down. He's like, he's already dealt with these girls before, mm-hmm. and all these demons be taking them for nothing. So Cole's like, okay, we'll see. But we find out that Vince ain't even worried about the sisters. Vince is trying to get his hands on Father Thomas, which was the crazy guy that we saw at Crest Hill Psychiatric Hospital, because Father Thomas is the reason why he had became an empath. And he was like, this guy put me through all this stuff, and I'm going to kill him. Now that I am back, that man is going to die.
It's been 4 years of feeling everybody's bullshit.
And I'm not with the shit.
Yeah.
And Cole is trying to tell him, like, that's not, like, the time or the place right now. I don't want Father Thomas harmed, because if you go after Father Thomas, the girls are going to find out what happened, and they're going to come for you. And you are going to ruin it for me. And Vince is trying to tell him that it doesn't matter because he is immune to witchcraft. And Cole's like, I know in his head, Balthazar be like, will y'all listen to the shit that I have to say? Like, there's a reason why I'm a high ranking demon and y'all are all minions. But no, y'all gotta do whatever it is that y'all wanna do, like little dogs that don't listen. Prue goes back to her dental appointment. She's trying to reschedule it, and she is now starting to feel the emotions of people around her. She's cracking up. She's laughing really hilariously. And the girls at the front desk are kind of looking at her like, okay. And we find out it's because somebody else is being given laughing gas. And so that girl's laughing, and then that's why Prue was laughing. It was cute.
Yeah, it was like, oh, wow. There's a couple canoodling in the dentist's office lobby, and like, he squeezes her ass and Prue feels it.
Yeah.
And then, so like, it's like, ow, ooh, my tooth. And it goes from like dramatic pain to like crazy laughing.
Hysterical laughing.
Yeah. She's having like a manic episode. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Now we're back at the manor. Cole is breaking up with Phoebe. He can't tell her why. He can't tell her how. Just know this is for the best. You and I cannot be together.
You and I see.
And Phoebe's just like, but what? What do you mean? Don't go. And I felt for Phoebe because she knew it was coming. She knew that there was something up. And then for it to happen, I felt for her. I felt that. So as Cole, though, is leaving the manor, Prue comes in, and Prue is just like, and she's like, I haven't felt that feeling since Andy was alive. And the way she's explaining it was just so beautiful. And she thinks that Cole is falling in love with Phoebe. And Phoebe's like, don't tell me that. This man just broke up with me. I just got dumped. And you're telling me that he's falling in love with me? And Prue's like, I'm just telling you what I felt. And it's love. That man is falling for you. And I was just like, oh. And the fact that they, like, brought it back to Andy, I was like, oh.
And then, like, She feels Phoebe's heart skip a beat when she says mm-hmm. that. Like, you love him too. And I love that, like, the I'm happy for her, like, because she genuinely felt that love. Like, all right, I don't trust him, but I know that he's not lying when it comes to her, at least.
Right, right.
So I'm going to let my little sister have some fun and fall in love.
So they tell Piper and Leo that Prue has become an empath. And Leo is Leo-ing, and he's worried because Prue is a mortal and a witch and not like a demon or anything like that. She wasn't meant to have the power, and he doesn't think that she can handle it. But he also doesn't like
go upstairs to his bosses and be like, "Hey, what should I do if my charge got powers that she shouldn't get?"
Yeah. Prue thinks that this is good because she was looking for a power boost to fight Balthazar, and this might be able to give her the power boost to be able to kick his ass. She feels, you know, everybody else having concern for her, and it's just way too much for her, and she ends up blowing out the kitchen television. Phoebe's like, well, let me go upstairs and consult the Book of Shadows, see if we can... See, somebody's doing something, right? Let me go consult the Book of Shadows to see if there's anything in the Book of Shadows that can help us manage your power. But Prue is like, no, you need to go get your man. Girl, go get your man. That's what you need to do. And I was just like, oh, look at the sister bond. Like, here I am struggling, but you need to get laid. I feel that. Piper and Leo offer to help. But I'm with Prue. What you gonna help me do? What you gonna do, Leo? Nothing. Y'all gonna bicker and argue and then have sex while I'm sitting here struggling. Y'all good. I'm good.
No, I love it because, and this actually is where the rant may come, because she's like, I don't want your help because your guys' couple's issues are giving me a headache. Leo is resentful towards Piper, and Piper's in denial, which is why I hate this relationship, because it's You want a real, like, traditional relationship with the most non-traditional-ass motherfucker that you can get. Like, if you wanted a traditional, real relationship, you should have stayed with Dan, who can afford to... To split the bill with fucking Cole, who you don't have to lie when you introduce him as your fiancé. He was my neighbor. They were stolen glances. We eventually, you know, took the plunge, and here we are.
Not a Ford. I'm still stuck on a Ford.
Cause, like, let's be honest. Like, you want this. This is what, but you don't think about it realistically. You're in denial. Like, your man's broke. He has no intention of getting any sort of money, or at least pretending to appreciate what you're going through and what you're giving up to be with him. And like, in the beginning of the episode, he was like, oh, I clip my wings for you. I throw myself in front of demons for you. You did that once. And I wasn't even in the room when that happened, bruh. You did that for Daryl, not for me.
The fact that he threw up the whole, like, clipping...
Like, she don't even have a ring yet, and you over here throwing shit that you did for her in the... You can't even afford to give her a ring. And then you want to be like, oh, I'm a traditional guy. I come from the time when men pull out chairs and open doors and always pay the bill. If you came from that time, what's stopping you from still being that dude? Because that's... Even if you are in 2000... If it was instilled in you back then, it would still be instilled in you now. You was never picking up the bill. You were always a brokey. Like, let's be honest. You come from a time where men did that. You said men, not me. Men.
Because I feel like even if he came from a time where men did that, he would be hustling to make some money. Like, he would have picked up something. He would have handyman something. He would have shimmied something. He would have something.
Like homegirl said, you've been a white lighter for this long and you ain't accumulate no wealth. Like, let's be honest. If you need to blend in with the mortals, you need money to blend in with the mortals.
I just wonder how many other charges he slept with and, like, use their house as shelter.
Like, come on. Like,
because it definitely seems to be a white lighter thing to do.
You resentful of your shorty wanting you to have money and a job, and, like, you, it just feels like, no, like, they never talk to each other, which is why I don't understand how they fell in love and how is this supposed to be this great romance, because they never had this conversation. And they didn't even have this conversation. He vented and she apologized.
She apologized and told him that she was proud of him. Get out of my face. How proud of
what? What has he accomplished?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure there.
The world.
They tried to kiss and Prue was, I feel like that whole Prue telling him that she still has a headache makes me believe, like, it still wasn't really resolved. Like, Prue saying, oh, I still have a headache is like, ah, oh, y'all trying to, like, smooth this over in front of me. But I can clearly tell that this is not resolved.
And, like, I don't know if it's Piper trying to, like, not really have the conversation. Of, like, because let's be honest. It is very hard to talk to your broke boyfriend about being broke. Especially when he's not a hustler, and especially when he gonna try to make the problem your problem and not his problem.
You're right.
So Piper was probably just gonna be like, let me just throw some pussy at him so he can shut the fuck up. But let's be honest, he never gets a job. He never has no money. And he's just like, oh, I can orb you wherever you want to go, but then you can't afford to feed me once we there. But let's continue to the
episode. He was like, you wanted to see heaven? I took you to see heaven. And I was like, oh my God.
You ain't take me to see heaven for me. You took me to see heaven so me and you can plead our bitch-ass relationship to your bitch-ass bosses.
Yeah, I put it there.
That yeah, wasn't for me. Like, Leo is a liar. A user, a cheater, a heartbreaker, and I won't. Sorry. I'm going to go into the whole song.
I see that. So at the time that this is happening, Phoebe goes to Cole's apartment, and as soon as she is in the door, they start making out. That man's eyes rolled into the back of his head, and I was like, oh,
she played it on thick. She was just like,
She did.
She was like, I really want to tell you how I feel. But I've always been better at showing than telling. And then
I gagged at that line, though. I was like, I feel like Phoebe and Leah would have made a good couple.
I mean, they were fucking in real life, so yeah.
You're right. See? You're right. That's why we are never, ever.
Getting back together.
They get in bed. And they do the nasty and they're kissing and it's passionate and all that stuff. And Phoebe goes, last night was magical.
You know, if she had said any other word but magical, the illusion wouldn't have been shattered for him. Because he woke up very happy, and the minute she said, like, magical, it reminded him of, like, fuck.
I have to kill this bitch.
Yeah. I'm just like, you couldn't say no other word. You couldn't say any other word.
But see, if he was really about his business and was, like, really, first of all, we already know that Phoebe is a kinkster. If he was really about taking out the charmed ones, she ain't got no active powers. He could have choked that bitch out while they were fucking.
But as we learned from last week's episode, he likes to be choked, not the one doing the choking.
All I'm saying, if he was really about his business, he could have taken her out real quick during A Night in Lovemaking. That's what I'm saying. She ain't got no, I mean, she would have gotten a premonition, but it'd been too late. Like, my dick is in your mouth. Like,
anyway.
So, Vince goes to Father Thomas's old church looking for him, but he ain't there. Father Thomas is not there, but there's like a woman there, and she's explaining that he had a nervous breakdown because he lost his ability to help care for people the way he was used to, and he's in Crest Hills. And the way Vince thanks her for that information is by killing her. I'm like, you demons are just like white lighters. Y'all are so short-sighted. Like, y'all can't just go killing everybody. Like, I need and y'all to see
the forest. She gave you the information. She didn't even hesitate. She was like, he lost his gift. He down over there in the cuckoo house.
Right. Prue is losing it. Prue is losing it. Vince trying to go kill Father Thomas. Prue is in the basement losing it. She is picking up on emotions of the entire neighborhood. She's hearing arguments. She's hearing mommy and daddy fighting. She cannot handle it. She is trying to hide. Leo and Piper are
They just finished useless. Having sex. They literally just finished having sex.
Useless. They're trying to get her to... Leo is so fucking useless. They're trying to get her to come out to help find Vince. But Leo, you just said that she wasn't going to be able to handle it because that's not what her body was built for. Like, that was not her gift to have. And yet you're trying to bring her out more into the world. Like, you are a useless white lighter.
Because instead of listening to your charge actively tell you that they are in crisis, you over here plotting on how to make your fiance's life difficult and embarrass her in the streets.
You're right. The weight of the world is on Prue's shoulders, and it causes multiple beams in the basement to crack and fall from the basement ceiling. And they kind of like jump back. But does that matter? No. They still take Prue outside and they go meet Phoebe outside the church. And they go to the room where Vince had been hiding. Phoebe gets a premonition. She was able to see everybody that Vince had killed in the past and the fact that Vince was probably going to take out Father Thomas. She didn't even get to touch anything. She was just in the room. And Leo thinks the reason why that happened. Why?
His line delivery when he was just like, the walls must be dripping.
Oh my God. So I happened to like look down when that was happening. Like right after a premonition, I had looked down and my phone went off. Mm-hmm. And he said it and I visibly was like, ew. Like he'd definitely be like, oh, Piper, you're mad when he's like,
oh God. I was like, Piper, I'm arriving.
So call back from last week's episode, right? So okay. I watched it. So I guess it didn't finish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. When I pulled it on, them being in bed was the first scene because it was the last scene from the previous episode. And he was like, he's something to the effect of like, you're so good when you concentrate. I was like,
which is wild because I have read that line in Smut and it has made me feral. That line coming out of that man's mouth, I never want to hear any man tell me to concentrate ever again. Ugh, he ruined Smut.
So Phoebe's
teaching the process and push through.
It's just it, and we've had this conversation before, and I'm just gonna like go back to it really briefly. I wish Leo was written like the first Cupid.
Yes.
versus how he's written. Like, I feel like he's intimidated by Cole. He's intimidated by all these demons. I really feel like he wanted Phoebe, but Phoebe don't want him, so he took Piper instead, right?
He was like, Phoebe don't know how to cook. She might be more fun, but even though I'm not supposed to be eating, my man gotta eat.
He was like, and she broke, and both of us can't be broke. He was like, I need a woman with ambition.
Yo, their first date was at Quake.
See, I need a woman with ambition.
And like, and obviously, I'm saying Quake, that's season one, but that's okay. Your first date being at your job is okay if you're in high school or in college. I'm in my 20s, dog. Bruh, take me out somewhere.
I know. Leo probably be listening to like them like Andrew Tate.
I'm done with you.
You gonna tell me this was embarrassing? You want a man in the real world? Bro, she had to tell him that she was proud of him. Proud of him for what? For what? For what? You don't ever get nothing right. Half the time, we got to save your charges because you can't save your charges. What are we proud about?
I told Jose this, and I'm telling this in the podcast. Later on this season, they get infected with the seven deadly sins, and his sin is sloth.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
If my guardian angel's fucking sin is sloth,
I'm looking at, I'm side-eyeing you for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life.
Like, I don't know.
So, they get in to go meet Father Thomas, which is wild to me. But they were able to go in and get meet Father Thomas. They tried. They were like, that's my daddy. And they were like, your daddy's name? And she was like, dad. And I'm like, Leo, you couldn't even do that?
Not even just that. Like, why would
you? The hijinks are, it's funny. Funny hee-hee, but not funny ha-ha. Because the hijinks are cute when it's amongst the sisters. But when I have a white lighter who should be able to, like, go into the book of records or like tag somebody or like jingle jangle your way in and out to get this information, you couldn't tell me who Father Thomas, like, you couldn't give me this man's name. Like, I don't need you to be the Shaggy in the mystery gang. Like, I need you to do some work, okay? I need you to do some work.
Like, yeah. What else is there to say
for that? So Father Thomas lets Piper and Phoebe know that Vince is a, not only he's a demon, this man is a demonic assassin. His real name is Vinceris. He thought, Father Thomas thought too, that Vinceris was actually human, but he was not. And when he tried to help him, Vinceris tried to pay him back by killing him. And Father Tom was like, absolutely not. And was acting like he was healing him, put his hands on him, but was able to pass on his empath powers to Vinceris. But it ends up being a curse for both of them because Father Thomas is also immortal, which they kind of like dropped that in there.
Yeah, he's stating, he's like, I have eternity here and it's going to suck because I have nothing to live for. I have no power.
Right. And I was just like,
okay.
Which is so random. Like, well, why is this man in a more, like, and they didn't really like flesh out the character too well. I don't know. I'm guessing Piper still had the woman frozen because they were able to get Father Thomas out of Crest Hill and back at the manor. Prue is still in the basement, or she comes back into the basement. Father Thomas is like, you guys can't kill him. He cannot be stopped. And the only reason why Prue's spell worked in the first place was because he wanted to get rid of his empath powers. But he is too powerful for the witches. And Phoebe thinks that Prue could be able to learn to channel the emotions and then become powerful enough to fight Vinceris. And Father Thomas thinks that Prue is too far gone, but the girls are not having it. and they were able to convince Father Thomas to talk to Prue. So Father Thomas is trying to get Prue to snap back to herself. He feels that Prue is suffering because she's fighting the emotions instead of giving into the emotions. And the only reason why Viserys was able to fight the emotional load is because he's a demon. So demons don't give a fuck about human emotion. But while all this is happening, Viserys pops in and he's getting ready to fight him. This scene was kind of dope though, because Piper goes to freeze him and it only slows him down. And he's like, mad slow. I thought that was dope. Yeah. I was like, oh, y'all got budget. Look at y'all got money. I see y'all.
So dumb with you.
Piper tries to crack a flower pot over his head. It don't work. Yo, Piper always getting flung into a wall, which is wild when you think about the season finale.
Mm-hmm.
But Piper always getting flung into a wall. Phoebe tries to attack him. She's doing her little hi-ya, hi-ya shit. He don't give a fuck. He flung into a wall too. Piper tries to freeze him again. It barely slows him down. And it's crazy because Viserys ain't even coming after the sister. He's like, yo, where's Father Thomas? Like, my beef is not with y'all. It's going to be with y'all later, obviously. But my beef ain't with y'all now. My beef is with Father Thomas. He got 4 years of hands coming to him. So all this is happening. And Father Thomas is finally getting Prue to, like, channel her empathy, to get her to strengthen the powers. And he's like, everything that you're feeling is literally you just feeling what it is to be human. And that triggers, like, super Prue. What the fuck? Viserys grabs Phoebe by the throat, demands to know where Father Thomas is, and Prue was like, get your hands off my goddamn sister. And they go into this, like, hidden tiger, crouching dragon scene.
Let me hop in here with some trivia. So, the fight scene between Prue and Viserys in the manor is essentially a copy of the scene in The Matrix from 1999, where Neo...
That makes sense. Okay.
When Neo fights Agent Smith in the subway station, and after Neo is shot, Shannon Doherty said she was injured during one of the stunts in this episode, where a stunt...
And she did her own stunts?
Where a stunt wire got caught on her arm while shooting the fight scene.
All right, Tom Cruise.
Right?
So she was doing... Blow for blow, they were getting at it. She was doing the thing. So clearly the blow for blow not working. So what she decides to do, she does the art of the Prue. And she astro projects into this man's body. And so now he's feeling all of, like, what it is to be a human. And she's, like, ping-ponging around his body. Mm-hmm. And he explodes into, like, green goo.
And this is the first and only time where Prue would vanquish a demon like this.
I would hope so.
Yep.
Prue is no longer an empath. Empath powers do not end up going back to Father Thomas. But apparently, because he was able to help Prue just by being Father Thomas, now he has something to live for. I just really wish that his character was fleshed out more. Like, why are you immortal? Are you a Highlander?
Yeah.
Can there be only one? What is this? Why are you just roaming these streets? So now we're at P3, Idol's playing in the background. Prue has finally come to the dentist and he left her tongue numb. Prue said that she was able to kill Viserys by forcing him to feel all of the pain that she was feeling, and the emotional load literally tore him apart. Leo said that Father Thomas has returned to his church, which is kind of weird. Like, you escape from the mental institution and then you come back and you heal, and we're going to take you back into the church.
I feel like they use that goofa dust or whatever, like woo-woo dust on everybody, because magic was exposed at that crazy house. Like, there's no there's no way to, like, get around that. She had the TV floating in midair. Like, she definitely had a psychic overload. And it was, what's even worse is, like, Leo as the white lady was like, hey, you shouldn't be here because this place will over, like, load you. And instead of orbing her right home, he was just like, I'm just gonna have
put her in the corner. Nobody wants baby in the corner.
Anyway, let's wrap this up.
They all speculate that the signs that Prue received were not from, which I feel like Leo could have gotten confirmation that they did not come from the uppers.
Well, he said, he didn't. This was mentioned in the episode. He was like, because Phoebe's like, what I'm curious about is like who sent the signs that led you to,
right?
And he was like, oh, I don't know, it could come from that, but it could come from anybody. What you mean it could come from anybody?
That's. But I'm saying he didn't even like get a confirmation that like they did not like. You figure you would check off the boxes at least, but they have all agreed that it's probably Balthazar or the Triad. And Prue thinks it, which makes me sad when you think about it. Prue thinks that this is what her powers would look like when she got to her full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh. Phoebe goes to Cole's apartment. He's still there. First of all, I don't even like a hairy man, but Cole's chest just does something to me. He's going to stay a little bit longer because his associate didn't do as he was told. And then they go do the nasty and it fades to black.
Stress me out. I think what I would have done differently would have been to have Leo go up and ask, like, hey, what's going on with these signs she got? And show that, like, it's Prue, because we see this later on in this class, like, Prue's sin is pride. She's a very prideful person. She always wants to, like, be the best and always wants to be, like, the saver. And instead of waiting for Leo to come back with, like, a confirmation that, like, yes, the elders did send these signs for you, she went and helped in Saris anyway. And we still would have gotten here, but at least he would have been like an effective white lighter. And it probably would have been better storytelling because you can see it. Like, this is episode 6. I think, like, the Sin episode is episode 17, I mean, 13 or whatever. So that would have been a really good callback, but, you know.
I want better for Piper. That's it. That's. I ain't going to apologize to no broke man. I am not apologizing. I am proud of you. Proud of you for what, bro? I'm always like, you're not even a good. What's the next part? What do we do next after? Just, I'm done.
What are you rating this?
A 5. I just feel like it was. Especially knowing what happens, like, the next 2 episodes and how it, like, kicks up the stakes for the season.
Mm-hmm.
The next 2 episodes are, like, some of my favorite. Season 3 be having bangers. And I think when you have banger after banger after banger, I can't. I'm going to give it a five. Weird immortals walking around.
Spooky, scary skeletons. I'm giving this a 4.5 out of 10 uncomfortable lunches. Because, like, you not.
She said 4.5 split checks.
You're right. Because, obviously, we can't go back and the show wasn't like. I just wish that Leo being so spiteful and so petty, like, put a thought in Piper's head. Maybe not, like, she didn't act on it, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, maybe he isn't an angel after all. Maybe he does have some mortal ways, because that is messy as fuck. You included my baby sister and the dude that she likes, but it's not her man. Either way, you involved other people in our drama. Unnecessarily to prove some stupid-ass point to who?
To who? Who? Who?
Who needed, like...
And on top of that, I had to pick up the check, too. And on top of that, I had to pick up the check.
Like, it just... It just seems so. It's tacky as fuck.
It's tacky.
And the fact that, like, Piper liked that shit makes me look at her like. All right, miss. Like, if that's what you like.
But yeah, if you like it, I love it. You already know how I feel. I'm not going to rant about it.
Yeah, I mean. I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm going to say it again. 5 more seasons of this. Like, come on. And it's lazy writing. It's plot holes. And it's like, it's all the things I've said in season 2. I don't know where this great I can't live without you love came from, because there's no foundation for it. There's none. They was just like, hey, this is what y'all want. Like, the reason why Cole and Phoebe are so revered and so loved and such a good couple is because we are in episode 6 and they now haven't sex. Like, the groundwork is there. The push and pull is already there. It's well mapped out. It's well thought out. This just feels like, oh, we need like an anchor couple. And this is going to be our anchor couple. It just sucks. But either way, I'm going to go have dinner. It's 10:16 at night. And you got kids.
I got kids.
So I'm going to just be hoes. Blessed beam.
Some hoes be witches. See you next week.